or make a face when he held out the cup toward me and kept it there just an inch or two away from my chest. The fact that I didn't ask him if he poisoned it popped into my head as quickly as it popped back out. I wasn't in the mood to be a pain in the ass. I really wasn't. Not anymore. And that's how I knew there was something wrong with me. I peeked inside of the mug, taking in the milky brown liquid inside, and then sniffed it, and I glanced back at him. Ivan raised his eyebrow and moved it half an inch closer to me.
It's the packet stuff. I don't have any marshmallows, if you like that kind of thing.
He... Oh, hell.
And I made it with almond coconut milk. You don't need the extra dairy.
He was still holding that damned mug half an inch from my chest as I stood there. He'd made me hot chocolate. Ivan had made me fucking hot chocolate. Without marshmallows, according to him, but he wouldn't have known that I only treated myself to hot cocoa with marshmallows on very rare occasions. How he knew? Why he even had the mix? I couldn't handle. I just couldn't process it. It was like that moment when he and Lee had asked me to first partner up with him, like I was on drugs and didn't realize it. Ivan Lukov, the greatest frenemy in my life after my siblings, had made me hot cocoa. And suddenly, for some fucking reason that I would never, ever understand, even years from then, I officially felt like the biggest piece of shit on the planet. That was the last straw. It was in the record books. My eyes began to sting almost instantly, and my throat suddenly felt drier than ever before. He had come here because Coach Lee had called him. Ivan had given me a Hershey's kiss. He had dragged me to his room, and then he'd made me hot cocoa. My hand went up on its own, my mouth still staying shut, as I wrapped my fingers around the warm ceramic and took it away from him, glancing back and forth between the mug and that face that was so beautiful, so annoyingly perfect, it made my unclassicness difficult to appreciate for once. When he dropped his hand away, I brought the cup to my mouth and took a sip, even as my eyes burned worse than before. It wasn't as sweet with the non-dairy milk he'd used, but it still tasted great. And he was still standing there, watching me. And I felt shame. I felt ashamed of myself for this small kindness he'd just paid me that he didn't have to. A small kindness I wasn't sure I'd do if we were in opposite situations. And that just made me feel worse, worse, worse. My throat grew tighter than before. And it was honestly like I'd swallowed a giant grapefruit.
What happened?
I glanced away and then glanced back at him as I pressed my lips together and fought the softball-sized turd pressing down on my vocal cords. You're a piece of shit, Jasmine, some part of my brain whispered, and my eyes stung even more badly. I didn't want to tell him. I didn't. I didn't want to say anything. But... You're an asshole, that voice reminded me. A self-centered asshole. I turned away from him, taking a sip, the hot liquid soothing the tightness along my vocal cords, and then I said, sounding so fucking hoarse I almost stopped talking but didn't, do you ever feel guilty for making this? He knew what this was. It was everything. A priority. Ivan made a noise that sounded like a thoughtful one, and I was almost tempted to turn around and see his facial expression before he replied.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Sometimes was better than never. You don't care about anyone or anything but figure skating, my ex-partner had said to me one day, weeks before he'd jumped ship and abandoned me. I had ripped him a new one when he'd texted me the night before to say he thought he was coming down with a cold, 1 week before nationals. You're so cold. But I wasn't cold. All I wanted was to win, and I'd always told myself there was nothing I wouldn't do for it. I didn't expect or want to be mediocre. When I wasn't feeling well, I sucked it up and still showed up. Was that so wrong? Was it so wrong to love something you'd dedicated your life to, that you wanted the best? No one ever became good at something without repeatedly working at it. Like Alina had told me once when she'd been really mad at me as a teenager.
Natural talent only takes you so far, Yotsik.
And like with so many other things, she hadn't been wrong. I had just made some stupid fucking decisions. Really stupid decisions that painted everything black.
Do you?
Shit. I took another sip of the warm drink and savored the taste, a lie at my chest, ready for us. And I hated it. So I told him the truth. Even though it felt like sandpaper. I didn't. Not for a long time, but now? Yes. Yes.
Because you started doing other things when you took the season off?
Took the season off. That was the prettiest way of saying it. That's what started it. Maybe that's why I see everything now better than I ever did before. I see how much I missed out on.
Like what?
Everything. High school shit. Prom. Boyfriends. Love. The only reason I went to my sister's college graduation is because my mom made me go, you know? I was supposed to have practice that day, and I hadn't wanted to miss it. I'd thrown a fit. Acted like an asshole, but I was sure he could reach that conclusion all by himself. I forget how obsessive I am.
You're not the only one. We're all obsessive in this sport. I've given up my whole life.
I shrugged my shoulders and swallowed hard, still not facing him. He was right. If I thought about it, I would realize, but it didn't make it any easier to swallow the truth. I was obsessive. I had ignored my family for the last 10+ years. Nothing and no one else had mattered as much as figure skating had. At least on the outside. I had taken them for granted until I thought I had lost this sport. Nothing else had mattered as much as the chance to win something. To be someone. To make them proud. To make everything worth it. But mostly, everything I had done had been for myself. At least at first. It had all been for me and how it made me feel. Good. Strong. And powerful. Talented. Special. It had made up for all the other things I didn't have and wasn't any good at. At least until I had gotten into my late teens, and then everything had gone to shit, and I became my own worst enemy, my own most critical judge, the one and only person who was guilty of sabotaging herself. I spun the bracelet on my wrist and rubbed the pad of my finger over the inscription.
I used to regret not going to school like everyone else. The only time I genuinely spent with other children was when I would visit my grandfather during the summer. My only friend for a long time was my partner, but even then, it wasn't really a friendship. The only reason I knew what a prom was because of television. I used to watch reality shows to know how to talk to people.
Something tickled in my eyeball, and I reached up to wipe at it with the tip of my index finger. It came away wet, but it didn't scare me or make me mad. I didn't feel weak. I felt pathetic. I felt like shit.
Everyone, Jasmine, everyone that's an athlete, that's successful, has had to give up a lot. Some of us more than others. You're not the first person, and you're not the last person that sees that and feels bad about it. You don't get to become good at anything without sacrificing something to make time.
I didn't look at him as I pressed my middle finger against the same eye, feeling the wetness on there, too. I opened my mouth and felt a choke in there, so I closed my lips. I wasn't going to cry in front of Ivan. I wasn't. I pressed my lips together and closed my eyes and tried again. Successful people, Ivan. It's worth it if you're successful, not if you're not. And we both knew I wasn't. Everyone knew I wasn't. Not even a little bit. More wetness formed at the corners of my eyes, and it took the pads of every other finger to dab the liquid away. Everything had been for nothing. I had told myself a year ago when Paul had left, and it had cut me open. And it did the same thing again right then. Everything had been for nothing, and I couldn't justify all of my sacrifices anymore. The sniffle that came out of me embarrassed me, humiliated me, but I couldn't do anything to stop it. Even as my brain said, "Don't do it, don't you fucking do it," I was better than this, stronger than this. But I sniffled again anyway. I wanted to walk out. I didn't want to talk about this anymore. But if I left, it would look like I was running away from Ivan. Running away, period. And I didn't run away. Not ever. Maybe turning away so you wouldn't see something wasn't exactly the same as running, but it really was at the end of the day. And I wasn't my dad. I've never won anything. My voice sounded watered down and lame, but what was I going to do? Hide it? What the hell did I have to be proud of? Of making my mom feel like she didn't want to bother me after she had been in an accident and had to go to the hospital? You're a piece of shit, Jasmine. I had no reason to hold on to my pride. None. And it wasn't like Ivan didn't know that. Like he wasn't aware of how much of a loser I'd turned into. How much of a loser I really was. That's probably why we were only in this together for a year. Why would he want to get stuck with me? Natural talent only took you so far. I was the fucking poster child for it. The poster child for being a letdown of a human being, daughter, sister, and friend. And it burned me. Oh, hell, it burned the fuck out of me so bad, I couldn't stop the words from coming out of my mouth. Little pieces of glass sharp along every jagged, broken edge. So what's it all been for, then? Second place? Sixth place? I shook my head, bitterness swelling up inside of me, crowding out everything. Everything, everything, everything. My pride, my talent, my love, fucking everything. That doesn't seem worth it at all. I hadn't been worth it at all, had I? There was no response. But when there was, it came in the shape of two big hands landing on my shoulders, curling around them. My entire life had been for nothing. Every goal for nothing. Every broken dream and promise for nothing. The hands on my shoulders squeezed, and I tried to shrug them off, but they didn't go anywhere. If anything, they got even tighter.
Stop it.
I felt the heat and length of his body come up behind me. I'm a loser, Ivan. I took a step forward, only to come up short when the hands on me kept me from getting an inch away. I'm a loser, and I gave up so much of my life and so much of my time with the only people who have ever loved me for nothing. I was a failure at everything, at every single fucking thing. My chest ached. It hurt. And if I'd been dramatic, I would have thought it was breaking in half.
Jasmine.
I shook my head and tried to shake his hands off again as my chest hurt even worse, and how my mom had tried to play her accident off, like she was okay with me not making her a priority. Like my own mom thought she didn't matter to me. My throat burned, my eyes burned, and I was a giant asshole, a loser. And the only person I could blame was myself. I almost didn't recognize my voice as I kept on talking for some fucking reason I would never understand. My own family thinks they don't matter, and for what? My voice cracked as anger and some other shit I didn't know how to classify swelled up inside of me. For nothing. For not a single fucking thing. I'm 26. I don't have a college degree. I have $200 in my bank account. I still live with my mom. I don't have any functional career skills besides waitressing. I'm not a national champion, a world champion, or an Olympic champion. My mom's gone nearly bankrupt for fucking nothing. My family has paid thousands of dollars going to competitions for me to come up in second place, third place, fourth place, sixth place. I don't own anything. I'm not anything. Was I dying? Was this what having your heart broken felt like? Because if it was, I was sure fucking glad I'd never fallen in love before because, god damn, my god, it felt like my organs were rotting away. My mouth watered and my throat was sore, but by some miracle, I didn't actually start bawling, but I felt like it. I was doing it on the inside, crumbling, falling apart, feeling like a piece of worthless, worthless, worthless shit.
You can have all the talent in the world and still do nothing with it,
my dad had told me once years ago, when he'd tried to convince me to go to college instead of pursuing figure skating full-time. I screwed my eyes closed and held my breath, as the pain in my chest got so bad I wasn't sure I could breathe if I tried. And I sniffed. This tiny little sniff I only barely heard.
Come here.
No.
Let me give you a hug.
His voice sounded even closer, his body warmer. Shame burned me inside out, and I tried to take another step forward, but the hands on me didn't let me go anywhere.
Let me.
I squeezed my eyes closed even more and said, before I could stop myself, I don't want to fucking hug Ivan, okay? Why? Why did I do this to myself? Why did I do this to other people? All he was doing was trying to be nice and—
Well, too fucking bad.
The hands on my shoulders started to shift, to slide, going across my upper chest, right beneath my collarbones, until his forearms were crossed over me in an X, and then Ivan was pulling me back, stumbling me back, until my upper back hit his chest, flesh to flesh. And he hugged me. He hugged me so tight to him I couldn't breathe, and I hated myself. I hated myself for being a hypocrite, for not being nicer, for expecting the worst all the time. I hated myself for so many things, I wasn't sure I could count them all and survive. And the arms around me somehow got even tighter, until every bone in my spine was curved into every bone in his upper body.
You're the best figure skater I've ever seen. You are the most athletic, the strongest, the toughest, the hardest working.
I leaned forward to get away from him because I didn't want to hear this shit, but didn't go anywhere. You know none of that fucking matters, Ivan. None of it means anything if you don't win.
Jasmine.
Dropping my head forward, I squeezed my eyes even tighter because the burning in them only got worse. You don't get it, Ivan. How could you? You don't lose. Everyone knows you're the best. Everyone loves you. I wasn't able to finish the words. Not able to say, and no one loves me the same except the people I've let down over and over again. Warmth hit my cheek at the same time the arms around me swarmed me.
You're going to win. We're going to win.
I choked.
And even if we don't, you're as far away from being a loser as anybody can get, so shut up. I'm sure your mom doesn't feel like it was worth nothing. I've seen her watching you before. I've seen you before. There's no way anyone would see you on the ice and think there was a price limit on it.
I squeezed my eyes closed and held back the next choke crawling up my throat, and I felt like I was dying all over again. Ivan.
Don't Ivan me. We're going to win. Don't give me this bullshit about you being a loser either. I don't win every time. Nobody does. And yeah, it isn't fun. But only a quitter says things like that. A quitter gives up and really does make that kind of statement come true. You're only a loser if you give up. Are you a quitter now? After everything? After all those broken bones and falls? You're going to quit now?
I didn't say anything.
You giving up, Meatball?
I said nothing.
These young girls quit right after they win gold medals because they're scared of losing after that. You say nobody remembers second place, but no one remembers the girls that win once and disappear afterward either. The girl I know, the Jasmine I know, isn't scared of shit. She doesn't give up, and that's the girl people will always remember. The one who is there time after time. You'd win and keep trying to win afterward. That's the girl I know. The one I partnered up with. The one I think is the best. And you better not ever ask me to repeat that because I won't. I don't know what happened to you earlier, but whatever it was, you need to move past it. You need to remember what you're capable of, what you are. You make every sacrifice worth it. You make every penny worth it. Do you understand me?
Understand him? Just let me go. Please. Please. Please, out of my mouth. Jesus Christ. He didn't. Of course he didn't.
Do you understand me?
I dipped my chin and kept my mouth closed, my organs burning up and melting. Ivan's sigh went over my ear, and he squeezed me in that hug I hadn't wanted, but didn't want to leave now.
Jasmine, you're not a loser. Not years ago, not last week, not today, not tomorrow, not ever. Winning isn't everything.
The snort out of me burned. It was so easy for him to say that, to think it. And in that Ivan way, he knew what I was thinking.
Some of the unhappiest times in my life have been after big wins. Your family loves you. All they want is for you to be happy.
I know that, I whispered, hating how weak I sounded, but not able to do anything to change it. I was miserable, more miserable than even after Paul left, more miserable than maybe after I realized my dad was moving away.
You and me will give them that. Understand me?
A sob tried to crawl out of my throat, but I kept it in, and I buried it. Buried it so deep, I wasn't going to risk ruining this chance by replying. Because this was enough. This was too much. And I was miserable.
That night I had dinner at your house. The second thing your mom said to me was, I can make things look like an accident. When I was leaving that night, your brother's husband told me that you're like his little sister, and that he hoped I'd treat you with the same respect I would treat my little sister. And your sister Ruby randomly whispered that her husband was in the army for over 10 years. I think she meant it as a threat. And both your brother and your sister said that you have experience digging holes to put bodies into. They sounded proud of it. Real proud of it, Jasmine.
I blinked, and then I blinked some more. This something, just barely replacing the burn going on inside of me. Not much, but it was enough for the weight on my chest to lift just enough for me to feel like maybe I could breathe again sometime soon. Maybe in a year, maybe in two, because that was my family. And Ivan's next words wrecked some more of that feeling eating me up slowly.
They understand, Jasmine. How can you think you haven't done anything when they care about you so much? They admire you. They were bragging about how tough you are, how resilient you are. There are girls at the rink who light up every single time you walk by. You've probably changed their lives and inspired them by showing up here day after day, staying true to yourself, not letting anybody talk you out of anything, not even me. I don't know what you consider a loser, but those aren't the kind of traits that come to my mind when I think of that word.
I ducked my head and bit my lip, my words lost, my mind too slow to process everything. And then he finished me off.
You and me, Meatball, we're going to win if that's what you need. Understand me?
Chapter 12. I think we're done for the day. Coach Lee called out from her spot a couple feet away from where I'd landed after a throw. Breathing in through my nose and out through my mouth, trying to keep from panting after a practice that had made me sweat so much, the L and R on my hands had started to fade. I nodded. It was time. I was tired, and I knew Ivan was too. I'd felt how deep into his reserves he'd had to dig to throw me that last time. Plus, it didn't help that I'd slept like shit. It also didn't help that we'd been so busy at the diner that morning that I hadn't gotten a chance to even take a break. I'd overdone it the night before, inside and outside, and my body hadn't forgiven me for not treating it as well as I usually did. I hadn't been able to stop thinking about my choices, about what I wanted to do and needed to do, and, if I was going to be honest with myself, I felt more about Ivan's kindness than I would have ever expected. He'd probably hugged me for 10 minutes straight as I'd calmed down and slowly, in tiny bits and pieces, gotten grounded. He hadn't asked me what upset me. He hadn't teased me for it. At some point, he had just let me go while I finished drinking my hot cocoa and then taken the cup from me to wash and set beside the sink. Then he'd followed me to the empty changing room, waited for me to grab my things. And he'd followed me home. We hadn't said much to each other, and I wasn't sure if it was just because he knew I was in my head or if he didn't know what to think about me losing my shit. Honestly, I wasn't sure either. The one thing I did know was that if Ivan thought I was going to be embarrassed the next day, he had to have been real fucking surprised when I wasn't. I could see it in his face every time he looked at me. Those crystal clear, almost sky blue eyes roamed over my face every time we were in front of each other. For one tiny millisecond the first time I caught him watching me, I thought about looking away. But I didn't. I refused to. Because to do that would say I was ashamed that he'd found me like that, that he'd heard and watched me damn near cry, which was almost as bad. And one of the best lessons I'd ever learned figure skating was that when you fell, you got right back up and acted like nothing had happened to begin with. You made things important, or you didn't. And if you got up and smiled and held your head up high, you still had your dignity. And I was going to squeeze the shit out of my dignity with both hands. At least what was left of it. We were friends. And sometimes friends lost their shit around each other. At least, that's what I figured. "Take it easy. And get some rest, Jasmine," Coach Lee said, as she skated toward me and gave me a serious, lingering look. I forgot she had been the one Galena had called the night before. I only managed to nod. What else could I say or do? "See you tomorrow, bright and early," she finished, touching her fingertips to my shoulder for a brief moment before dropping them and skating away. Planting my hands on my hips, I kept trying to catch my breath as I looked around the ice, taking in the 6 other people still practicing taking advantage of the last few minutes before the private ice time was over and it opened up for group lessons. I spotted Galena almost immediately, sitting at the same spot she used to sit in when it was me and her chin resting on the folded hands she had on the wall. Her gaze was on the teenager going through a sequence of arm movements a few feet away.
"Am I invited to dinner tonight?"
Ivan's question came from behind me. I blinked and turned to look at him over my shoulder. He had started off practice wearing a dark green fleece pullover, but had stripped it off about an hour ago, leaving him in fitted black sweatpants and a light gray long-sleeved shirt with patches of dark, damp material along his chest and abs. Maybe I hadn't slept well, but from the lack of bags under his eyes, he hadn't had the same problem. His face was as clear and bright as always. "Lucky shit." Breathing in through my nose, I pressed my lips together for a moment, and just as I was about to shrug, I nodded instead. I owed him that much. He deserved that much. "If you don't have anything else to do."
"Not until later."
What did he have to do later? I wondered.
"I'll follow you home then."
He sounded just like he always did, without the sarcasm.
"If you can manage not to drive like a psycho, that would be nice."
And there we went. I drive the speed limit. Those thick, dark eyelashes swung over his eyes.
"Is that what you call going 10 over?"
"I've never gotten a ticket."
"Uh-huh."
I rolled my eyes and just barely managed not to shoot him a dirty look. "I'll wait for you by the front doors, sock boy." One corner of his mouth twitched, but he dipped his chin. He blinked at me, and I blinked right back at him. Then the other corner of his mouth twitched too. "You suck."
"You suck more. Meet you in 10.
I scrunched up my nose and made my way to get off the ice, getting to the opening of the wall right after Ivan. I put my skate guards on, watching him watch me as I did it, noticing out of my peripheral vision the families beginning to show up and make their way to the stands. But we didn't argue. I took off and headed toward the changing rooms, not wanting to be the last one to the front doors. I'd rather wait for him than him wait for me. It would probably be a good idea to text my mom before I left, just so she'd know he was coming. I hadn't seen her since the night before, when she'd told me about her accident, and even though I wanted to talk to her about what she had implied, I didn't know what exactly to say. I wasn't positive what would be more effective than, "I love you." And she deserved so much more than that. I rounded the first corner, where Ivan would turn to head to his special room, and headed straight instead. I spotted two teenage girls standing outside the room immediately. It was the two girls who were always nice to me. Sure enough, just as I approached the door, they turned and gave me two shy smiles. "Hi, Jasmine," one of them said, while the other one squeaked, "Hi." I thought about Ivan's words the night before and gave them both a little smile as I walked in front of them. "Hi." My hand went to the door to push it open, and I paused before saying, "Have a good practice." "Thank you," the outgoing one basically shouted as I went in. Just like every Saturday night, the changing room was full of teenage girls between the ages of 13 and 18. They were talking so loud it made my ears hurt. I headed to my locker, casting a side glance around to see that they were all familiar faces with no names, and then I turned my back to them. It didn't take long to open my locker and take my boots off, pull out my bag and set my skates in their protective case before taking my phone out, wiggling my toes and rolling my achy ankles as I unlocked the phone screen. I found my mom's name under messages and typed up a text as quickly as I could, making sure my words came out spelled correctly, while trying my best to ignore the girls' voices. "Bringing Lukov to dinner," I sent her, before dropping my phone onto the empty bench beside me. Pulling my socks off and then my wraps, I felt my phone vibrate and picked it up. It just said, "Okay." I wasn't even going to touch that winky face. I set my phone back down and bent over to start going through my bag for my flip-flops, when I stopped zoning the girls out for some reason and heard, "Big hands and big feet." "How do you know that's true? There's a lot of guys with big hands and big feet that don't have bulges." What the fuck were these kids doing talking about bulges? "Like who?" "Like..." The girl talking dropped her voice to a whisper. Like I still couldn't hear her after she did it. "Idiot." "Ivan Lukov? I've never seen anything under his costumes, if you know what I mean." The fuck were they bringing up Ivan for? And what were these little perverts even doing staring at his crotch? He'd been 99.99% naked in front of me, and I hadn't looked at it for more than the second it took to see he had it covered. And why the hell were they bringing up him not having one? That didn't mean anything. Most guys taped it down, I thought. I had asked Paul about it once, and he had just turned red and stuttered as he laughed, avoiding the question, like I didn't know he had a penis under his clothes. Another idiot. "His hands and his feet are huge," another girl tried to whisper, but she was even worse at it. "But has anyone even seen anything?" one little shit asked before giggling. I spun around on the bench seat as fast as I could and chose my words as best as I could. "Would you stop? You all want some guys talking about your stuff behind your backs?" Just like that, they all stopped talking and turned a shade of red that I'd thought only Ruby was capable of. That's what I thought. I made sure to look at each one of them before shaking my head and turning forward again. No one else said anything, and I didn't worry about them tattling on me because what were they going to do? Admit they were talking about Ivan's crotch? Slipping my flip-flops on and giving my toes another wiggle as I stretched my arches, I snatched up my keys and purse and got up, bending over to grab the handle of my duffel. I side-eyed the girls on the other side of the room, who all looked like I'd kicked their puppy, and I didn't give a shit. I put the lock back on my locker and headed toward the door, yanking the door open a lot rougher than necessary. God, what was wrong with teenagers? I couldn't remember talking about people's dicks when I was their age. 17, okay. But fucking maybe 14? Ugly and fat in that leotard. And there it was. Children. 13, maybe 14-year-old standing outside of the door. Two teens that looked a whole hell of a lot like the two that had been talking shit about me weeks ago. And those two were standing in front of my two girls that always greeted me. The two sweet but funny little girls that had just been grinning at me maybe 5 minutes ago, but who currently had their backs to the wall and had glassy eyes that looked a whole hell of a lot like they were on the verge of tears. Damn it. Why did this have to happen to me? I wanted to walk away. I really did. I'd already had my beef with these little shits, and I didn't want to get into it again and risk getting in trouble. But my outgoing little buddy had tears in her eyes, and one of these fuckers had just called her or her friend fat and ugly, and I didn't play that bully game. So I stopped and made eye contact with my two friendly girls, raising an eyebrow. You two okay? The more outgoing one of the two blinked away what had to be tears, and the action instantly made this strange feeling zip up my spine, and I narrowed my eyes as I glanced at the two mean girls that both looked like they regretted the decision they had made while I'd been in the changing room that had led them to this moment. When neither one of the two nicer girls agreed that they were fine, the feeling in my spine intensified, and I recognized it for what it was. Protectiveness. I hated bullies. I really hated bullies. Were they picking on you? I asked slowly, calmly, keeping my focus on the two nice kids. We weren't doing anything, one of the little shits tried to argue. I slid my gaze over to the one who had spoken and said, I wasn't asking you. Then turning back to the one with the tears in her eyes, I asked again, were they picking on you? It took a swallow before I got a nod from both of them, and that feeling in my spine only got stronger. I bit the inside of my cheek before I asked, are you okay? Their little nods almost broke my heart. But what they did manage to do successfully was focus on the two little shits as my best bitch expression came over my features as I said, slowly, 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 wearing that smile that JoJo had called horrifying on more than one occasion. If I ever, ever, hear or see you picking on them, or anybody here, again, I'm going to make you both regret the day you decided to take lessons here. Do you understand me? Neither one of them nodded or said yes, and that only made the tingle in my spine recharge. A better person would have added some inspirational shit, but that wasn't me. I turned my attention to the two nicer girls. You get picked on again? Come tell me, okay? I'll deal with it for you. Tomorrow, next month, or a year from now, don't be shy. As long as I'm here, I'll take care of it for you. Nobody deserves to be spoken to like that. I would know. I'd been through it enough. In return, I got two blank looks, but whether it was in alarm or what, I had no idea. Before both girls nodded, fast, fast, fast. And I smiled at them to tell them it was okay. I had their backs. Not everyone was terrible, but the bad ones made it easy to forget that. I should know. But then I glanced back at the two little shits and let the smile fall away as I focused in on their petty-ass faces. And you two? I catch you doing that again, and I will open up a can of whoop-ass on both your rude...
Jasmine!
I heard a familiar male voice yell from close, but not that close. Sure enough, glancing up, I found Ivan down the hall, one hand against a wall. He was too far for me to see more of him, but I knew from the shape and length of that frame it was him. That, and I'd recognize that voice anywhere.
Let's go. I'm hungry.
He called out for no reason, I thought, until it hit me. He'd heard me. That's why he had yelled and stopped me from calling these girls motherfuckers like I had planned on. It wouldn't have been a good idea, but well, whatever. They deserved it. Don't be jerks. I pointed at the two rude shits, then turned to the other girls and said, and tell me if they pick on you again. When I got two nods in response, I made sure to give the other pair a nasty look, like I was on to them, before heading down the hall toward Ivan, who was still standing there waiting, except I could see him shaking his head from a few feet away. The second I was close enough, I realized he was grinning. Those straight, bright white teeth were all out there.
Is today your day to pick on little kids?
I rolled my eyes as I stepped in front of him, having to tilt my head back to look up at him. Those are monsters, not kids. Those eyes were focused on mine, as his grin only grew.
What I want to know is...
I blinked, not sure what he was about to ask.
What is a can of whoop-ass, and where can I get one?
I didn't mean to smile, and I sure as hell didn't want to, but I couldn't help it. I smiled so wide my cheeks instantly hurt and said the only thing that came to mind. You're an idiot. An hour later, I was heading down the stairs at my mom's house, trying to wring more water out of my hair so that it wouldn't soak into the light tank dress I'd put on. I hated washing my hair every day, and my hair hated me washing it every day if how dry it was said anything. But with how much I was sweating with two-a-day practices, it just got way too greasy if I went longer than 24 hours without a wash. I was going through a bottle of conditioner every 2 weeks. By the time I made it to the bottom landing, I could hear the voices in the kitchen. When we'd pulled up to my house half an hour ago, there were Jonathan and Aaron's cars in the driveway. I hadn't asked what my sister or brother were up to, but I'd seen both of them a few days ago when they had dropped by randomly for dinner. I'd only gotten a chance to give my mom a kiss to the right of her bruised and swollen nose before JoJo's dramatic ass had gone off with, "Jazz, how could you not call and tell me about Mom's accident?" I almost threw her under the bus and said that she didn't want me to say anything, but I was no snitch. So I told him it was because I'd been too tired the night before to deal with his shit. That had gone about as well as I'd expected, and I ran up to get a shower 5 minutes later, watching Ivan shoot me a curious look that said he might have been putting the pieces together from what happened last night to what he was seeing on my mom's face. And I didn't care if he did. Making my way across the living room toward the kitchen, the voices became clearer and louder. I recognized the sound of my sister and mom laughing, and thought I heard a light chuckle from Ivan mixed in there. Thinking about the moment in the hallway with the girls made me smile again, but I wiped it off. He really was an idiot.
"Did they make you tape everything up?"
I heard JoJo ask.
"Oh, God." "Jonathan," his husband hissed. "What does it matter?"
I'm curious. I looked up the magazine this week. I didn't see a hint of balls or anything in those pictures, and it doesn't seem possible from the angles the pictures are taken at. I don't care how tight anybody's ball sacks are, it isn't physically possible for there not to be a tiny sign of nuts somewhere. Get what I'm saying?
They were talking about the photo shoot for the anatomy issue, and of course it would be JoJo asking that.
"Maybe I need to get that magazine when it comes out," my mom started to say, before Ruby and JoJo almost wailed, "Stop!" and "Nobody wants to hear that."
"You two are so sensitive," my mom muttered, but didn't continue with her sentence.
"I have eyes, you have eyes. The human body is a wonderful thing, isn't it, Ivan?"
"It is."
"I'm sure Grumpy looked beautiful."
"Who's Grumpy? Jasmine?"
"Yes." No one said anything for a second before JoJo butted in.
"She hated Snow White when she was a little baby."
"Why?"
It was my mom who answered.
"Because she, what did she used to call her? A lazy fart that took advantage of men?"
JoJo burst out laughing in that way that made me smile.
"She used to get so mad watching it, remember? She would sit there in front of the television talking smack to herself. She hated it, but she'd still watch it over and over again anyway."
Then it was Ruby that started laughing. "She would walk around saying that Snow White wasn't that pretty, and even if she was, she needed to have a little respect for herself. She didn't even know what that meant, but she heard you, Mom, say that once, and it stuck." Then my mom started laughing.
"That's why we started calling her Grumpy, because she said he was the only smart one of all the dwarves, because he knew he had a reason to be in a bad mood. Work in the mine all day, and then have to take care of some girl that didn't do anything?"
Her laugh went higher.
"Oh, that girl. You can all blame yourselves for how she came out. She picked it up from you all. Ivan,
It's their fault.
There was another moment, and then, "She's my idol," from Ruby, which earned a husky laugh from what had to be Aaron.
"That's my girl," my mom echoed.
My nose itched, and my eyes might have begun stinging a little. Okay, more than a little. I had to blink and listen to them laugh while I got my shit together and felt that nice, warm feeling in my chest growing, growing, growing. It made me feel better. Better than I'd felt the night before after Ivan had been so kind. After a couple more swallows and blinks that made sure I was back to normal, I headed into the kitchen and found everyone, except my mom's husband, around the island. Ben was busy stirring what I knew was a giant pot of his awesome chili on the stove, with his back to the group. There was one seat empty between Ivan and my sister, and another seat open between Aaron and Jonathan. I went for the one next to Ivan. And for some reason I wasn't going to overthink, I snuck my hand from my side over to the thigh closest to mine and gave it a squeeze. Not a mean squeeze, just a normal one that wasn't too hard or too loose. Friends did that, didn't they? "Jazz," Ruby started to say as she leaned forward over the island and shot me a careful smile that made me wary. "I know you're really busy." Why did my stomach flip? "But remember we talked about you watching the kids for us a few weeks ago? Do you think you still can?" She smiled. "It's okay if you can't." My stomach clenched. It was too soon. It was way too soon. But I could handle it. I would. I could be better. "I didn't forget," I told her, trying to ignore the tension right around the center of my body. "I can watch them." "Are you sure? Because..." I tried to give her a smile. I tried to tell her that I loved her and that, yeah, I loved her kids too. I'd do anything for them. But instead, I said as softly as I was capable of, "Yes, I'm positive. I can watch them."
"We can watch them too," JoJo piped up.
I shot him a look. "No, I can babysit them. Find your own niece and nephew." JoJo rolled his eyes and turned back to Squirt.
"I can watch them anytime you want, Rubes. They don't need Rosemary's baby over there rubbing off on them."
"Do you really want Shrek Jr. over here to be what Benny wakes up to?" I asked my sister, shooting my brother a look.
"I'm average height," JoJo claimed.
"Sure you are, boo-boo," I returned, smiling at him for real. "Either way, you didn't say you don't look like Shrek, so..." Jonathan decided to scratch at his forehead with his middle finger. "Would you two stop?" Mom finally sighed. "You don't really look like Shrek, JoJo," Ruby added. "More like Donkey, I think." Jonathan just blinked over at her before sliding his eyes to me and saying,
"You're the worst influence."
"Your mama." My brother looked right at Ivan beside me, his middle finger going back up to his forehead, for me, of course, and said,
"Ivan, if you accidentally trip and fall doing a lift with her, none of us would blame you. Really."
The side of a thigh touched my knee, and a second later, so did the palm of a hand I knew very well.
"I'll keep that in mind. Maybe during an exhibition after Worlds."
And I couldn't even be mad. Or butthurt. Chapter 13. "You don't have to come with me," I told Ivan as we got out of his car, subconsciously rubbing at the weird tingle in my throat that had been bothering me all day. I blamed it on leaving my water bottle in the car and not having a chance to run back out to grab it, or else face the wrath of Nancy Lee. He huffed, and I swore to God he rolled his eyes.
"I already said I would."
"I know that, smartass, but you can still back out. My sister or her husband can give me a ride later, if you want to leave." I waited for him on the path up to my sister's house, since the passenger side was closer to the curb. Ivan shrugged and shook that black head of hair.
"I'm not backing out. It's just... how long did you say it would be? 3 hours?"
4 hours. He seemed to think about it as he came up beside me, before tipping his head to the side, coming to whatever conclusion he had gotten to.
I've put up with you for 4 hours. This is just two kids. It can't be that hard.
Obviously, this man had never babysat before if he thought it wasn't that hard. But I wasn't about to tell him that. I was kind of looking forward to seeing him deal with a toddler and a baby. All right, don't say I didn't give you an out. Ivan scrunched up that perfect, symmetrical face as we stopped in front of the door.
Give me some credit. We're only babysitting. It's not rocket science.
I nudged him with my elbow right before reaching up and knocking on the door. He elbowed me right back. How the hell had we gotten to this point? My damn car hadn't started. Again. And my uncle hadn't answered his phone when I had called, and I couldn't exactly afford to call a tow truck driver. There were plane tickets and hotel rooms I was trying to save up for, and groceries, insurance, an electric bill I paid as part of my rent, and other random expenses I had every month. Right around the same time that I was debating who to call to come pick me up, came the obnoxious toot that lasted maybe 10 seconds, and made me jump when it had first rang through the air, coming from a classy black car. Following the toot was a driver's side window being rolled down and a very familiar face peering out from over the edge of the glass.
Car trouble again?
I sighed, then I nodded.
You need a new one.
Okay, I'll get on that.
Get in.
I'm not going home.
What, you got a hot date?
No, numbnuts. I'm babysitting tonight. The expression on his face instantly changed, but I didn't think anything of it. I'm going to my sister's. Reminding him about what Ruby and I had literally talked about in front of him a week ago. Ivan shoved his sunglasses just above his eyes with the tip of his finger.
Get in then.
It's further away than my mom's.
How much further?
I told him what side of town and watched as he made a face.
How long are you supposed to babysit?
About 4 hours. I wondered where the fuck he was supposed to be going that he was worried about how long it would take. Then he made a thoughtful face.
Okay, 1 second.
He must have reached for his phone because the next thing I knew, he was focusing on his lap.
1 more second.
Who was he texting? And what was he texting? I'd barely started to wonder what when he glanced back up.
Okay, if it's only 4 hours, I can drive you there and drop you off at home afterward.
Wait, afterward? You're going to drive back and pick me up? He pinched his mouth in that way that used to drive me crazy because it looked like he thought I was an idiot.
No, that's the other side of town from where I live, genius. I'll babysit with you, and after that I'll drive you back home. As long as it's only 4 hours. I need to be home after that.
What did he have to be home for? Was someone waiting for him? Did he have a girlfriend?
You getting in?
It wasn't any of my business. None. Nope. None of my business. If the swallow I took felt tight, I wasn't going to overthink it. You can just drop me off and one of them can take me home after. I didn't have to see his eyeballs to know he was rolling them.
Shut up and get in. I can take you as long as it doesn't run too late.
He had a girlfriend, didn't he? You don't need to stay.
Get in, meatball.
And with a dirty look, and a reminder that whatever he was doing afterward had nothing to do with me, I got in. And he drove us to my sister's, which was where we were, with me waiting on the paved sidewalk, arguing with Ivan after we'd bickered over whether he drove slow or I drove fast. He drove slow. That was how I found myself in front of Ruby's house with Ivan beside me. Coming! I heard my sister call out from the other side of the door. All of a second later, the door opened and she was there, already beaming that great big smile that made me feel like I'd kill someone for her and eat their heart, too. Jazz. She hesitated only a second before taking a step forward and wrapping her arms around me. I hugged her back, deciding to keep my mouth shut about the pause she had taken before touching me. Had I ever not wanted her to hug me? I couldn't remember, and the possibility that I had once made her think twice about doing something like hug me made my stomach tighten. I could fix this, I could work on it. Pulling back, I tipped my head toward Ivan at the same time her eyes strayed to him. I brought reinforcements to take care of your gangsters. My sister's face turned pink instantly, and she nodded tightly, her eyes shifting from me to him and back again. Hi, Ivan, she managed to squeeze out. Ivan smiled gently. Then, because he held his hand out toward her, and when she did the same, he took it and gave it a soft shake.
Nice to see you again, Squirt.
He gave her a charming smile that made me uncomfortable for some reason.
You don't mind if I call you that, do you?
My sister blinked, and so did I. But I knew her reaction wasn't because Ivan was handsome or anything like that. Her husband was smoking hot, in a completely different but equal way as Ivan, and she was madly in love with him. She was just shy. And no one called her Squirt but family. At least as far as I knew, not even Aaron called her that. I don't mind, she pretty much whispered, her eyes darting to me and then back to him. You're almost family now, right? Almost family? I shoved the idea aside just as Ivan nudged me, and I elbowed him right back. Come in, Ruby said, taking a step back. We're ready to go. We're just doing dinner and going to a store afterward. By store? I'd bet my kidney she meant a comic book store, but I knew she wasn't admitting it because Ivan was right there. We shouldn't be gone long. I shrugged and stepped into the house I'd been in plenty of times over the last year, since she'd moved back to Houston after spending the last 4 years living in Washington with her husband while he'd been in the Army. He had rushed through a degree over the last few years and gotten a job at a VA hospital doing something with veterans. I was a shitty sister-in-law not to know what he did exactly. I really needed to ask Ruby. It's fine. Do whatever you want. I don't have anything else to do besides go to sleep, I told her, purposely not mentioning that Ivan had to bounce after 4 hours to go do whatever it was he needed to do. Hey, Jasmine, a nice voice called out from down the hall, a moment before the tall, blonde man walked toward us. Hi, Aaron, I said, rocking on my heels. Aaron, you remember Ivan? The blonde beefcake, who I swore could have had a successful career as a gigolo if he hadn't been in the military, held his hand out toward me, and I slapped his palm. He then turned to Ivan and held it out too, where Ivan shook it.
Nice seeing you again,
my brother-in-law said, taking a step back to be side by side with my sister.
Thanks for babysitting.
I shrugged.
Sure.
We'll get going so we can get back faster,
Aaron let us know, leaning over to kiss my sister on the temple. Ruby nodded. You know where everything is. They're both upstairs right now. They've eaten. Benny's asleep on our bed. I didn't want to wake him up to move him. We're still working on his potty training. I waved her off. Don't worry about it. I can handle it. I glanced at Ivan standing there and tried to imagine him changing a pull-up, and I came up with nothing. We can handle it. Maybe. At least I could. With another kiss to the temple that Aaron gave Ruby, they filed out of the house, closing and locking the door behind them. The lock had barely been spun when there was a wail from upstairs. Let's get to work, I said, pointing at the stairs. Ivan nodded, then followed me up the stairs of the nice big four-bedroom house in the suburbs. My sister's babies shared the same room. There were two cribs set up on opposite sides, one white, the other one wood tone. I headed straight to the white one, seeing the squirming, tiny body lying face down. Jessie was crying so loud, I winced as I picked her up and brought her into my chest, cradling her. She was so small and so damn loud. I rocked her, whispering, shh, 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 and bouncing her a little the way she liked, before turning to find Ivan standing in the doorway, grinning like an idiot. I blinked. What? Jessie kept on wailing.
You picked her up like it was nothing.
His eyes went from me to the baby and back again, like it was a miracle or something. She's just a baby, not a grenade, I told him, still whispering, shh, shh, shh. and bouncing to try and calm my favorite little baby down. It always did the trick. I smiled down at the cute, pissed-off face.
I didn't know you liked kids.
He came to stand beside me, arching his neck to look at the child in my arms. I smiled at Jess, knowing he couldn't see me, and wrinkled my nose. I loved